Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com. Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to heritageradionetwork.org.
Episode 40, The Morning After, live from Roberta's HeritageRadioNetwork.org. My name is Jason Colucci. You can follow me on Twitter at the Jason Colucci. Like us on Facebook, Morning After page. Man, it is officially August and I am exhausted. We've been pushing through for the past 4 months with various projects. Of course, The Morning After on Sunday. It's only an hour long, but it takes a lot of time throughout the week, specifically Jesse Kiefer's time these days. and this actually perfectly just happens to coincide with the two-week hiatus that I am taking for the show to be on vacation. I will be in the Bahamas for a week, and then I will be in the Irish Riviera, Breezy Point. Believe is the name, official name of that area, and we'll have some special guest hosts over the course of the 2 weeks. One I know is confirmed is Amanda Freitag, and Jess, who's doing next week? And she's running around there. I think it's Jenna Tara, Jen Tullick, and Pam Stubbs from Tertulia, but we'll officially confirm that. Booch Brooklyn, Kombucha Brooklyn is in house.
Kombucha. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm all booched up. I downed two 16 ounces of
something. At least two 16 ounces.
I feel amazing.
You feel kombucha sized.
I feel can you fill me up? Because I have to do every time you say kombucha.
You look comtastic.
I feel fermentatious. I feel fermentatious here. Erica and Jessica Childs, owners of Kombucha Brooklyn and Studio. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Mr. Kamalucci.
Hello, Brooklyn.
We'll get to your interview in the second segment here, but first I want to talk to our good friend, UNITY, Queen Latifah.
How you doing, Jason?
I don't know why you're upset about this now, because I know this happened about 4 or 5 years ago.
Let me clear the air, because I have been upset. I'm from New Jersey, you know what I'm saying? I grew up in New Jersey, and I was just out there with two of my little cousins for a barbecue, and, you know, two of them looked up at me, and they said, Auntie Dana, and I was like, what's up? And they said, why can't we have our big oaks anymore? And I had to look into their eyes. Hey, look, I don't want to brag. I don't want to brag and say I'm the biggest celebrity of all time, but I do have a baby pool the size of Mickey Mouse's head that is encrusted with 2 billion diamonds. And I am best friends with Steve Martin. But yeah,
you did that movie Burning Down the House, right?
I did, thank you. DVD is out, set to be released next year. There was some legal holdups.
So are you mad about trans fat, or are you mad about the big sugary sodas? Because love Coca-Cola
this
here.
This is not about politics. This is not about politics. This is not about you and me being able to drink or eat what we want. This is about freedom, the freedom to go, okay? I myself only eat a very specially blended cocktail of cherry tomatoes, dried fruit, and protein powder that my roommate and trainer Jeanette has set out for me every morning, which is why she lives in my house. That's the only reason she lives in my house.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you a topic? It's not super serious, but normally when someone from the hip hop community makes it, they tend to lose their, you know, their name, and they become more an actors. 50 Cent becomes Curtis Jackson. Who's that guy with the chicken wings? And what's that? Who's that guy?
Colonel Sanders?
Eminem.
Not Eminem.
Ludacris.
Ludacris, yeah. Ludacris becomes whatever.
Chris Luda.
Oh, Jesus.
Joe, why do you know? Colonel Sanders.
Actually, we have Eminem.
He's a homeless man that lives on the block I grew up at, but he's very nice.
Fair enough. Wait, you're not promoting anything right now. You're not promoting anything. You're not calling in to promote anything. You're upset about the government telling you what to do.
Nobody. And listen, I like Mr. Bloomberg. I go to his governor's ball, whatever, what have you, every year. I love the food. They do surf and turf, and they have these tiny, gorgeous little cocktails. I would call Coot Hickeys or something. But I like him. I don't like what he's doing because he's pressing on my rights. You hear me? Press on my rights. If I want to go into a 7-Eleven and buy 20 ounces of high fructose corn syrup, I should be able to do that. I'm an American. I also individually am hip-hop. But if you, who are not hip-hop, no offense, wanted to go and purchase said beverage, you should be able to. Now, I'm not trying to politic all over your show right now. But
we'll save that for Sister Soja when she calls in next week.
It should be said, if I want to go, I should be able to go. Well, if you want to go, you should have that right as an American.
Well, thank you, Queen. I appreciate your time. Anything else you wanted to let us know about? Anything you want to promote coming up?
I do have a children's book I'm working on, which does not yet have a title, but it is about two polar bears who fall in love. So I'm going to keep you up to date on that, and I will call back. I'd love to come back and talk to you as soon as that's written. I just have basic sketches that I've done in eyeliner right now on cocktail napkins, but I think it's going to be really good.
Thank you, Queen Latifah. We'll talk to you soon. Let's take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk with Eric and Jessica Childs, owners of Kombucha Brooklyn. This is The Morning After.
You're listening to Lung by Iggy Dean.
At Whole Foods Market, we believe in healthy snacking, eating our veggies, and supporting local. Check out Brad's Raw Chips, a local producer that created irresistible chips after their namesake's successful weight loss with a raw lifestyle. Their chips are gluten-free, nutrient-packed, and so good that you'll think you're indulging. For more information, visit bradsrawchips.com.
After we're back, is it just me or the Olympics extreme? Are they fishing? They're just fishing for stories this year. Is it really? Is it?
It's like nonstop stories. Are you kidding me?
Well, no. Well, they demonized that poor guy, Michael Phelps, the first day when he came in like the fourth place. They were looking to like throw him under the bus.
Yeah,
like now they were like, now look at him. They were they're looking for stories. And I guess every 4 years it gets easier and easier to find out exactly in the moment time when people are winning and stuff, specifically with Twitter.
Have you seen the iPhone app for following the medals?
But then it defeats the whole, like, why in the next, say, two Olympics from now, why would NBC pay all that money up front to show it on the network when you could basically stream it anywhere else? Whatever, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about business a little bit later. I'm sitting here with Eric and Jessica Childs, owners of Kombucha Brooklyn. Kombucha Brooklyn. It began in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, where a lot of stuff happens out there.
The Berg.
In an apartment in 2007 when Eric Childs discovered kombucha.
That's right.
You originally discovered it?
It was discovered for me, passed to me by a fellow kombucha head. She didn't know it at that time. I didn't know it at that time that kombucha was about to have a takeover. And you know, to be honest, I didn't really, really dig it when I first tasted it. I was like, what is this stuff?
You were suffering from heartburn or something?
Well, I mean, heartburn was a daily practice of mine. It wasn't really something I was suffering with. It was something I was dealing with. I couldn't get rid of it. I was a guy with a bottle of Pepto-Bismol in my bag every day.
Are you serious?
Absolutely. I tried everything. Prilosec, prescription meds, and nothing.
You see that movie Clockers?
Have you seen the movie Rambo?
Love that movie, Rambo. First Booch, man.
That's right. Yeah. And it just, like, it was given to me. I didn't really like it, but it was sour and zangy. And sour, zangy things, sort of like Sour Patch Kid. You eat one and you got to have another. So I kept drinking it. And all of a sudden, I realized I was pounding like a case of it a day. And then a week or two, I was like 2 weeks later, I didn't have heartburn. And it was It's like, oh my God, it's been 2 weeks and I haven't had any Pepto-Bismol.
And so, then you were at all the you were on all the fermenting message boards.
Yeah, I was immediately. Well, you know, to be honest, no, I didn't even know what fermented foods were. It was like all about kombucha.
What? Well, obviously.
Well, fermented foods are all around us. They're live, living foods.
It's like the Metachlorian.
It's sort of like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and the ooze, the transformation of the ooze.
But it's kind
of
like Superman and the way
the force.
That it
flies. That's right.
That's right.
So yeah, and you know, I was addicted to this stuff, and people were calling me the kombucha man long before there was Brooklyn on the bottle in my hand. You know, people, I was preaching the booch word, you know, weeks after I was addicted to this stuff. And I even tried to pitch, you know, the man himself, GT Dave, to work for GT's Kombucha in New York back in the day. And I got no response. I was like, you know what?
I don't need you.
I don't need you or your West Coast tricks. Yeah. So I did it on my own. I started sticking little pieces of tape on homebrew and giving it to people. And then some money fell in my lap. My grandpa passed, and I got a little bit of money, and I broke up with my girlfriend. I got all this like amped up energy from that, and I started this like large homebrew experiment in my apartment. It was this 2-floor apartment on Division Avenue in the Hasidic neighborhood, and I had a very Hasidic landlord. And
what do you do? What's like, going on in that department? I don't know. I go
Joel
in there.
Horowitz.
You got all these things going on in there. I have no idea.
Derek, what is this stuff you're doing? This large pancake. What is it?
And he was just. I would go through fermentation and like the whole process, and he would just kind of scratch his head and twirl his.
For centuries, we've been trying to perfect this.
That's right. So anyway. And then, you know, Jess and I were thrown together, just like, you know, yeast and bacteria are thrown together in a brew of tea and sugar. And we immediately started to attack just like the booch does. And, you know, we were capping bottles together back on those first batches. Well,
Jessica, when you found out that there was this weird, well, not weird to you, but weird to everybody else, there was this guy doing all this stuff, you went over to the apartment first. How'd you guys meet?
I gave him a phone call. Somebody passed me his card, his business card, and I decided to call it. I have no idea why. I usually kind of throw those things away, honestly.
Creepy.
Hello. So I called, and it was this funny, funny voicemail. It was like, no.
Come, booch man, leave a message.
So I immediately assumed he was like a 50-year-old washed up, you know, guy in his kitchen with, you know, no shirt on and sweating everywhere. I was like, okay, this is weird, but I was laughing when the message started. So we immediately started our interaction in a really like fun and upbeat way, and we met for the first time over on Roebling Street. I remember it very well because it was just like this instant, like heightened, like awareness and heightened energy that was created by us just hanging out together. We were such good friends, like 5 seconds after we met.
Yeah. Love at first sight.
It was pretty awesome. She took me home in her little Mini Cooper, and she ran the first light that she came up to. She was just like looking at me and running through a red light. I was like, that was a red light. She's like, you know, it was pretty sweet. And I went home and I was like, damn it, guys, I just met my wife. And then, you know, I had a ring like 4 months later or something.
Yeah, yeah. A really awesome ring.
Yeah.
Did you guys have like a big, huge, untraditional wedding? Or was it pretty?
Yeah.
It was big, it was huge, and it was totally untraditional.
Bluegrass shindig in the mountains of Virginia.
It was gorgeous.
The Blue Mountains. We slaughtered a big 200-pound pig, smoked it, and we had bluegrass Cajun dancing until like 3 in the morning.
Where are you both from?
I'm from Virginia, and we got married in Virginia.
Yeah. I grew up overseas, so I never really had a home until I moved to New York.
And made one with me.
Were you Army brat, Navy brat?
I'm a dip kid.
Dip. Oh, that's a whole other. That's
not to be confused
level.
With dipstick.
Yeah, that's right. Some may.
So wait, where did you spend most of your?
It was 2 years. Every 2 years, different country.
So
India.
You could park anywhere.
That's right. I had diplomatic immunity as a teenager. It's pretty wild.
You can't check my JanSport.
Check it. No, seriously. One time I was going through South Korea, coming into South Korea, and had all this like customs tape wrapped around my bag, so that, you know, to let the customs check this bag. And I take the bag up, and they're like, ooh, and I pull out my black my black dip passport, and they're like, oh, And they waved me on through. It's pretty cool.
Sanctions.
That's right. And I actually coincidentally had a whole bunch of knives and a whole bunch of porn in my bag. And they're specifically in Korea, like, no porno and no knives in your bag.
You jail for shit like that.
That's right. So luckily for my black passport, I kept my porn and my knives.
So you guys get married, you regroup, and do you decide to expand the brand, or had already been established a little bit more at that point?
It all happened at the same time. We grew as a couple together, as we still do, and the company grew at all. I mean, we've been together for 3 years as just partners in this world, and Kombucha Brooklyn's 3.5 years old. So, you know, the company and our life, our business partnership and our life partnership has kind of grown together. And
now there's a child.
Now there's a third. Baby.
Yeah, we're like the, you know. So there's the Fab Five, the Dream Team. That's bad. I'm thinking of the Tenastic Trio or something.
Tenacious Trio.
That's what we are. We're an awesome fermented kombucha family, and we love each other, and we have a good time.
And now there's business. We spoke a little bit about this on at the Great Guga Muga, which comes up every week on this show.
Guga.
And you were the first interview that we did, and we had this whole portable studio. And I don't know, I drank a lot of coffee, and I don't know, were you just flying on Booch, or were you just kind of excited to be out there? I couldn't figure it out.
Probably sleep deprivation too with our 1-year-old.
I do have a 1-year-old son, but I mean,
and a business.
I don't even know my amped level because it's like my way of being. You know, I'm the kombucha man, so
you got to keep it
up. If you say I was amped, I might have been amped, but I was just being.
That's just you. That's just you. Normal.
That's right.
Yeah, when you're out there talking to people and you're talking about something that's so like so positive and so good, it really amps you up. It's like cyclical. You just pick up the energy off all these people, and you. By the end of the day of talking about kombucha, you are flying on cloud nine.
I had people coming back to us who had like 5 pints, and they're just like, oh my God, I feel so good. What is this? This is so good.
Are you serious?
I'm absolutely dead serious. I mean, that's why I mean, we can do this business together and have such a good time doing it, because we sell the real deal. You know, we're not pitching something that, you know, that doesn't work or works once. We're pitching something that makes people fly. I mean, look at you.
I feel great.
He's like a foot off the ground over here.
I feel great.
I think now
I was the most focused. I feel like, I mean, maybe Jesse will agree to this. I feel very focused.
Now is the time to W into the kombucha world. And I think for this journey through kombucha-sized radio, your name will be Yasin Kamaluchi.
On that note, let's take another break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little. We'll taste. We'll taste some kombucha in studio. And we'll critique morning after.
Kamaluchi.
You're listening to Bang Bang Sun by Iggy Dean. Our good friend, Iggy Dean. That's Bang Bang Sun. You can download it on iTunes like I did at 99 cents.
Oh, well.
We're back.
Kombucha.
Stop the boochiness.
Can't help it.
Yasin.
Yasin Kamaluchi.
Yes, I'm... Whoa, you're pouring me more. And this is a growler. I saw this growler thing. We can get this online, correct?
Need some gravity
boots.
Well,
check it out. So, you know, Kombucha Brooklyn is comprised of three-tier kombucha system. You know, first out the door were the 16-ounce bottles. This is... I'm holding one in my hand, actually, our straight-up booch. It was our flagship, and now there are six other flavors that sit next to this bottle. All sorts of lovely fruit flavors like Watermelon Twist and Urban Passion in the summertime. And then right after the bottles came the keg program, and that's a really exciting program for us because it's all about the booch. Mm-hmm. Keg program is what it sounds. It's kombucha on tap. Fresh booch off the lines.
So if I'm a restaurateur,
that's right,
I can serve this in my establishment.
Absolutely.
What's the recommended like portion size for customers?
Well, I mean,
do you leave it up to the proprietor?
You know, 12 ounces is an awesome serving size, 16 ounces. But you know, people or our customers are doing what we're doing here today. Actually, they're mixing it with booze, some with liquor, making awesome cocktails like a Tennessee shotgun or a kombucha teeny, or like what we're doing here in the studio,
Virginia Vixen.
Ooh,
that's a drink I just
ooh created. I love it. This is a reverse osmosis, 50-50 beer and booch, detox and tox at the same time.
Champagne perfume going in, poison coming
out. That's right. So you reap the benefit of the booze, and the next morning you reap the benefit of the booch.
Now, let's talk recipe. Now, how do we get to this form? Where does it start? Let's go into those fermentation forums that we used to always be on AOL back in the day.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Tell me.
Before or after our growlers, we got these brew kits. Brew kits are everything you need to make your own kombucha at home. And to make kombucha at home, all you need is a fermentation vessel. And our kits comes this awesome 1 gallon glass jar. You need the nutrients for the culture, the SCOBY, which is green, black, or white tea and white sugar. And then you need a SCOBY, symbiotic culture of bacteria and yeast. With those elements, you combine and you create kombucha. So essentially you're brewing a very large, very sweet cup of tea that becomes the house for this culture. That culture goes inside that solution, and over the course of about 2 weeks, the culture of bacteria and yeast eats and converts and consumes and creates all the nutrients in the tea and sugar, and create all sorts of acids and vitamins and the magic of kombucha.
Everything I'm feeling right now.
Everything you're feeling is created in those 2 weeks. And
2 week turnaround, huh?
2 week Quick. Turnaround.
That's awesome.
In Brooklyn, it's a little quicker, probably a week and a half. Week, you know, because we do things pretty quick. and then at the same time, a new culture, a new SCOBY gets formed.
SCOBY Snacks.
SCOBY,
as I like to call it.
Kombucha Man, SCOBY Snacks. It was the first name of the kombucha company before Kombucha Brooklyn. Anyway, a new culture forms on the surface of this brew, and that culture becomes the next culture for your next brew. So it's a self.
It's like a mother. It's a mother yeast, mother,
right.
Mother sauce, whatever you want to call it. Like bakeries have. I was watching History Channel yesterday, and they're talking about rum, and Bacardi still has the original yeast.
Awesome.
That they used 120 years ago in the lab and stuff. So that's are you guys going off that same?
Well, it's similar, but it's creating a tangible gelatinous disc. You know, that's the difference between kombucha and other ferments that you pass on the microorganism to the next batch. So this gelatinous ring grows on the surface of the liquid. And it's very scary for a lot of people who have never seen good things forming on the top of your food. You're used to throwing things out when you see weird things growing on top. But
I think getting comfortable with a kombucha SCOBY is a really important step to taking control of your food. I think that people have a misconception about what is dangerous in food and expiration dates and things like that. And we get a lot of customers asking, oh, is mold growing? It looks like mold. There's a very, very big difference between functional fermentation and mold growth, which in a lot of cases isn't even dangerous itself. So it kind of introduces people to a way of viewing food that is not so scary.
Exactly.
And also another thing I'd like to bring up about home brewing is that the fermentation process, you know, the 2-week fermentation process has several different cycles that roll through it. Most people, when you buy a bottle of kombucha, you're getting a lot of awesome effects. When you brew at home, you have the opportunity to taste and drink your kombucha throughout the fermentation process, which results in a totally different microbial population at any given moment. So for instance, like 2 days after you start the ferment, it'll be sweet. And in one kind of bacteria is really proliferating and is very vigorous at that moment. And then a week later, it'll be a little bit more sour, and another population is up and running. So you get these different doses of probiotics at different times, and you become like, you know, really, really.
So you know where you can go in now in a second and taste and know exactly in a 14-day period where it's at.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, too, it's all. It ends into the cum brewer's hand. You know, you decide. Do you want it sweet? Do you want it really sour? Mm-hmm. You know, it's a taste thing, and it also you understand where the probiotic content and the prebiotic acid levels are at, and you find your booch.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
balance.
Where do I find my booch? Where at retail? Where can I get to other than online? In the tri-state area, or is it all online sales?
Well, you know, on the lines, on tap, you know, Urban Rustic near McCarran Park, and Kim's Millennium Mart, and 61 Local in Cobble Hill,
Hungry Ghost,
Flatbush Farm. These are all places you can get your booch on tap.
In the city, there's several locations in the city. Birdbath Dorm.
Yep.
What are the other
dive
ones?
Dive Bar 96 in Amsterdam.
You guys live in Prospect Heights, correct?
That's right.
Oh, you guys are all Brooklined up.
It's so awesome over there.
You got the baby, you got Prospect Heights, yeah. You got a cool business.
The Brooklyn Botanical Gardens, yeah. The Brooklyn Museum, Prospect Park's awesome.
Right, yeah. BAM has our booch on tap, which is pretty awesome. But if you want to make it at home, you can go to Whole Foods, you can go to Williams Sonoma, and then online, of course, kombuchabrooklyn.com. And you know, we'll take care of you. We've got a whole expansive brewing shop online, and an awesome. I gotta pitch it because it's so cool.
Please,
the first kombucha forum, that you know, specific for kombucha,
like Comic Con
brewers,
it's
right?
Like
Comic Con,
BuchaCon,
Comic Con 5000. Yeah, it's pretty awesome, and we're gathering home brewers from all across the world who are talking and sharing, you know, the good, the bad. And you know, the new, so,
and pictures, lots of pictures,
lots of pictures. People need pictures with kombucha brewing and fermentation. You know, it helps people get through this cum-tastic process.
Well, Erica and Jessica Childs, owners of Kombucha Brooklyn, thank you for your time. We're going to hang out. We're going to talk to Jim Chu from Joe's on Elizabeth Street in our next segment. This is The Morning After.
Listening to Onions Milk by EGD.
Oh,
morning after. I'm going to talk to our good friend Jim True from Joe's in Manhattan, located on the corner of, well, on Elizabeth Street, right off of Houston. Jim True, what's up, baby?
Doing the do.
You doing the do? You on brunch duty today or what?
Yeah, we're just we're wrapping up the glorious Sunday brunch.
Throwing out over-batched Bloody Mary mix and over.
Well, you know, it's like waste not, want not. So we're here to take care of things, and if there's some Bloody Mary mix left over, then we should really use it.
I miss you. I haven't spoken to you all summer, and usually you have at least one or two great service industry things or trends that are happening. I wanted to check in with you, talk to you a little bit about Joe's. What's up?
What's up with us? Well, we actually just recently, I don't know if Johnny tell you about the postcard thing?
He spoke, but I felt like every time I talk to Johnny and you're not there, that there's some there's a whole rift between me, you, and Johnny Santiago going on right now.
Well, you know what? It's like you guys are in a relationship, and I don't want to get involved and be that other guy.
It's you guys are lifelong
best. That's happened already before, and I don't want. No, it's just that your show happens to coincide with my brunchly duties, so I don't get a chance to call in and
do this
and
stuff.
Participate. So
no,
I'm
tell
glad
me about
I have,
the,
have a little bit of time here.
Thank you. Tell me about the postcards.
Oh, yeah. So the postcard. So Johnny came up. You know, we've always used postcards. A lot of restaurants do. But Johnny just had this great, simple idea of letting people send them away. So we've just invite our guests to send a postcard anywhere in the world, and it is funny how many people do not know how to fill out a postcard. So that's one thing you find out that, well, I mean, people are frankly out of practice, so sometimes we get things that are sent back to us. We try our best to sort of interpret them and get them to where they are. Sometimes the addresses are very vague, like it's just a city and a country and a name, and I feel like that's not going to really happen. But also some wonderful things have happened. We had... It's a little, you know, we get a little peek into people's lives when someone sends a postcard. We had a young woman send a postcard that said, "My husband doesn't know that I'm here, but I'm thinking of you, and this place is perfect for us. You have to sneak out and come to Joe's." And I think that's exactly it. That is our brand space, is a restaurant that you think of cheating at. Which it's just romantic in a homewrecker kind of way.
Yeah, that block is kind of like if you're either buying an expensive dress or just happen to be not wanting to deal with all the foot traffic on Houston.
Exactly.
Or see where Martin Scorsese grew up. I mean, or go to that butcher shop that's on.
That's
the,
right.
The
people.
That's on
yeah, and I think people actually our butcher shop is Sal's a guy that you go just to talk. People go in and don't even buy things, they just hang out.
Yeah.
That in Europe it might be a sort of an art installation, but he's a fixture in our neighborhood and a really romantic one. He's been around since the days when we grew up around here. So.
What does it cost to mail something these days? I have no idea. Is it 30?
Johnny has figured out all the science, but it turns out it's a buck and change pretty much anywhere in the world once it goes international. Canada has a special rate because... they're funnier than we are. I'm not exactly sure why, but they have a...
But they charge more for magazines, too.
It's something about that. But we... they've gone out to Peru, Italy, the UK, and there have been all sorts of... It's brought up all sorts of stories. Johnny's been logging them all together in his... collection of photos. So,
and there was some talk of renovations. I don't know. That was kind of the
we're talking about adding a bar in the dining room, and we're still working that out. We want to make sure that it is all fine and dandy. But an interesting byproduct of what used to be a moaner and groaner in restaurants, which is to go out and you have to get this petition and then see what your neighbors actually think. And you know, while we were going through that process, we found out a lot of people really enjoy our restaurant, and you know, when you show up at that community board meeting, you kind of just you go in there cringing, waiting for some unforeseen enemy, and no one was people were actually being the good neighbors that we want to be, which is a refreshing thing to sort of find out.
Is that CB2? What is that, CB3?
We're in CB2. Yeah, and there are definitely some people with some legitimate gripes, and some, you know, and other people who are just super emotional, but we didn't really get a lot of negative feedback, which is good to know, because we want to, you know, we're neighborhood guys. We want to fit in with our neighbors as well.
So next time a customer comes in and listens to the show, in the evening, what's any new dishes? I know there's a new chef in there that we should.
Oh yes, Andrew Pressler is our new chef. He came on just at the end of January. His first menu came in spring, and that's, you know, in terms of fitting into like what's been a little bit of like a micro trend with sort of modern Asian food coming in. Coming back into play. Andrew is a chef who was born in Dubai, trained French, but loves Southeast Asian food. He's actually on vacation right now in Singapore and Malaysia, and will be bringing back all kinds of inspiring things. The thing to have right now is our pork chop. Is that pork chop that Johnny,
I think
eventually will have tattooed on his chest.
I've had it with Johnny at the restaurant. It is amazing.
It is an inspirational thing. But actually, this next couple of days, we got some great scallops in. Have a great little ceviche with avocado and pickled shallots and pink peppercorns. And I can just, you know, I can, in the interest of quality control, I could eat 3 or 4 of those a day and not feel too guilty about it.
Well, we got to get you in the studio sometime. Thanks for calling in. I know you're crazy running around for brunch. Jim Chu, owner, co-owner, proprietor of Joe's. What's the exact address?
264 Elizabeth Street, just south of Houston.
Thank you. Talk to you soon, Jim.
Thanks. Good to talk to you. Bye.
Erica and Jessica.
My brother did the same thing at my wedding. He was like, "And congratulations, Erica."
I noticed one of the negative side effects is I'm becoming dyslexic from the. I wanted to play this something for you for young. What's the child's name?
Ryder Childs.
Ryder Moselle.
Hopefully this can come up. Oh, I don't know if I'm tapped in here. We'll try here.
My neighbor, welcome again to this neighborhood. I'd like to show you something. You know what this is?
Mr. Rogers?
Yeah. Maybe if I press this button.
Do they have it in Virginia?
It's not Elmo?
This is a cassette player with a little cassette in here. And there's nothing written on it, so we'll just have to play it to see what it is. Do you ever imagine things? Are they scary things? Are they scary things? Do you ever imagine things? Things you'd like to have? Did you ever see a cat's eyes in the dark? And wonder what they were.
I think that you guys should introduce that to the child.
Love it.
No, but somebody was on the show.
Dun, and now, live from Brooklyn, the Blood Bowl.
That was Joe on his Pro Tool suite in there.
That's right.
The one.
Can you do it again? I just do it one more time. I could have had a better line there.
One man. One island, $1 million.
And one bottle of kombucha. Jess Kiefer, you don't get to see me for 2 weeks. I'm sure you love that fact. But we have some special guests coming up. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, for the next 2 weeks while Jason is...
You obviously haven't had any kombucha. You're very quiet.
I had a little. Okay. I had a little.
Sorry.
She's picking up off your
affects everyone
your
differently.
Buchiness.
A little bit. I think for me it's probably better if I'm just
you're
mellowed
late
out.
Late stage buchness, right?
Late stage bucha draws.
Clearly she needs another shot.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Kombucha.
So next week, there was some conversation week before, but who's officially signed on for next week?
Well, so official guest hosts next week will be Pam Stubbs of Tertulia and then Jen Tullock, favorite of the morning after. And
that's a powerhouse show right
powerhouse
there.
Show. We have Anne Saxelby on the show next week.
Wow. It's like I'm watching the Oxygen Network.
I'll find another female guest, too, just to really hit it home. And then the next week we have Chef Amanda Freitag hosting for us. So that's, I guess, August 19th. And we will be having Mass Brothers on the show. Yeah, Rick Mast and their pastry chef. That's so
we'll
for Chocolatier.
Those are some great shows. Thank you for all your hard work.
And you'll be calling in, right?
Yeah, I'm going to call in. I'm just so... You guys get... Poochman, I don't think you ever get tired. Do you ever... You don't have time.
I don't even sleep.
Yeah, you don't have time.
I just sort of keep my eyes a little bit droopy.
I don't know.
In the chair.
I'm a little bit older now that I admit. Like in the past, I wouldn't admit if I was exhausted, but I'm physically exhausted. I need to
You look so. You look very uplifted and very spring chickenish.
I feel amazing right now.
Yeah.
See me in 2 hours. I want to thank all of our guests today on The Morning After. Tune in next week. Of course, the next 2 weeks we have some amazing guest hosts. My name is Jason Colucci. You can follow me on Twitter at the Jason Colucci. This is heritageradionetwork.org. Like us on Facebook. See you next week.
Kombucha.
Thank you, kombucha. Jason.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.